Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. I believe it's been 65 episodes already, going on 1.5 years. That's, it's always interesting how things turn out when you start them. But yeah, here we are and still going strong. Today, talking about the cases from the modern finance function, something that I think is really interesting to see what our companies are actually doing. You know, it's fine to hear me sit and talk about what companies should be doing, but what are they actually doing? We will talk about that today. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and as usual, I will be your host, demonstrating the success of the modern finance function. In the series of shows so far, we've explored and discovered the successes of the modern finance function. In today's show, we'll take a look at some of the success stories different companies have achieved, so to speak, to reach their ambitions for their finance function. So let's try to get a bit practical and down to some of these details here. So what real-life examples do we have of where the modern finance function is driving people, processes, and performance forward? As we've been discussing over the past many weeks, driven by technological advancements and changing business needs, the finance function has evolved dramatically recently and continue to do so. We've chosen to highlight three case studies that sort of typify the fantastic results companies can achieve from transformation from a traditional, let's say, into a modern finance function, using the theories and principles and ideas that we've covered during these shows. Done right, and with the right approach, these use cases show how innovative solutions can and continue to revolutionize finance across sectors and industries. So I'll go through these cases here, and then happy to take people up on stage as well. First is from MGM Resorts International's Finance Transformation with Oracle Cloud. So business challenges and a tech revolution. MGM Resorts International, managing over 15 iconic properties, including the famous Bellagio and Mandalay Bay, faced challenges with its patchwork of outdated systems. The complexity of the behind-scenes work, with teams managing financial systems, processing wire transfers, credit card data, vendor orders, and lots more, all for a business that's coming together of several sub-industries in one. Think of things like food and beverage, hotels, and entertainment shows. This might be familiar to some of you in that although your main business focuses on one area, there might be ancillary and associated sectors or services that provide an extra layer of complexity. However, unfortunately for MGM, inefficiencies and discrepancies in data were common due to the heavy reliance on manual processes. I think we've all been there, so to speak. The need for advanced features and integration capabilities was evident to the whole team. That's when change happened. So how did MGM transform with Oracle Cloud? So they partnered with PwC, then embarked on a transformative journey with Oracle Fusion Cloud ERP. This move was not just a technology upgrade, but a complete overhaul of business processes and included the people involved. The implementation of cloud-based core financials streamlined operations, reducing task completion steps and enhancing efficiency. They used some of these solutions to tighten their controls, meet regulatory trends, enhance customer data protection, and provide the right access, that data access to the right people based on their roles. As Rob Wago, Vice President of SOX Compliance at MGM Resorts International, said, "We also integrated our lines of businesses into the finance and accounting hub, giving us access to all transactions at a property, restaurant, and individual invoice level. Access to real-time data has given us new insights and aided in making more meaningful decisions across our company." So what impact did the results have? Automation, as we've discussed a lot, played a very significant role, especially for MGM, in wire transfers and vendor sending compliance. The finance and accounting teams benefited from modern tools, leading to faster data access and improved customer service. And using Oracle Cloud, they were able to democratize data to over 50,000 employees, enhancing autonomy and problem-solving capabilities and supporting their processes with technology, making them much more efficient and simplify how they worked. And I do mention Oracle here a few times, and I should say that Oracle were kind enough to sponsor the first episode of this series here. And we'll also be publishing an ebook about the modern finance function in collaboration with Oracle NetSuite. So let's just make that clear as well. If you have experienced similar finance transformations, or perhaps transformations that did not work, you know, feel free to raise hand and go on stage, share your experiences, and let's talk a little bit about them before we proceed to the next couple of cases. Hey, Roland, welcome. Good to see you again. Happy to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, Anders. So, I mean, a lot of what MGM did is kind of what I do on the CFO advisory services part of my work. And just breaking down an organization, because I think as a corporation, one of the things that I've seen, especially in the oil and gas industry, in the sense that they've grown so big, they kind of work in silos, even within the finance department, some of the functional areas, and then within the different lines of business in an organization. And I think it's critical to have a good CFO or good leader in the finance area to really bring all that in with a system like Oracle. I'm currently implementing NetSuite in the company. And what it does is it truly brings in the cohesiveness across the board, because when you start working in silos, start patching with different systems for tax purposes, you know, for, you know, accounts receivable or accounts payable, you know, you start working with all these different systems that don't communicate. The cohesiveness and the consistency of one system speaking across lines, business lines, and within a functional area adds extreme value. And I've seen this over and over when you scale so big, or you're so small and you don't know what systems work, but you get sold, you know, this product and that product because it does best for tax, it does best for this, it does best for that. You start losing control and that consistency and cohesiveness. A system, once again, like NetSuite and Oracle shows you that it brings it all together. And even more so, the decision-making process, the dashboard that gives you information instantly so that you're not waiting several weeks, gathering the data from different systems, and then making a decision, you know, in a week's time or 2 weeks' time. These are instant decisions because the data is readily available, and it helps you make better decisions for the fluidity of the company. So,
thanks a lot for sharing that, Roland. It's absolutely critical that the data is coming together in one place. You know, we used to call it a data warehouse, right? Now it's become a data lake. I don't know if it's called something else today, but it kind of needs to be there. And whether you then have one system that can do it all or most of it, or you have best of breed systems, it needs to be set up so that data is automatically flowing into this repository of data so that you can build applications on top, meaning that you get the data whenever it's ready. And of course, it should be ready when it's needed. So you don't have to wait those 2 weeks that you talk about, or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you know, it can be a long time. And secondly, that everyone in the company, especially if it's a big company where silos, unfortunately, typically exists, pull from the same database, right? So that we have kind of one set of numbers, right? So even though we're looking at it from different perspectives, it's still the same set of numbers that we're looking at. And I might have a business-facing finance look at it. Some might have a compliance look at it. And that's okay. But if everyone brings their own data to the meeting, that's when you're kind of dead in the water. So definitely that data layer there is critical. And some, of course, these big systems, they kind of come with that. And if you have other systems and a sort of a complex system landscape, try to bring it all together in that data layer there. I think that's absolutely critical.
And one last thought, because it's not to exclude other systems that add value to the company. I think NetSuite and Oracle in general do use third-party. They weave in third-party data into, in essence, your data lake, like you were saying. And that is a good thing. So they don't exclude all the data. It's not just NetSuite exclusive in this case, you know, my implementation. I know that they take CRMs, they take other sources and implement the data and feed it into the data lake so that, once again, to your point, it's all consistent data from one source.
Perfect. Thanks, Roland. If someone wants to do like Roland, come up on stage, you can use the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen, and we'll try to bring you up. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute, introduce yourself, and share your perspectives.
Yeah, so I'm a finance professional in the field of mergers, acquisitions, and corporate finance. And what we realize a lot of times with the deals that we structure is culture is kind of key. I always go back to cases like the merger of Daimler Chrysler and Mercedes. I think the number one hiccup to what the deal terms ended up being was where you're going to put the corporate headquarters. So I think there needs to be, especially with international transactions, kind of a respect for what the precedent and protocol of the local culture is where you're operating. So I think in the CFA jargon, they say typically you have to learn the legal framework of the locality that you're actually doing business in. So we try to keep that in mind, especially when we're dealing with clients with a different risk profile. So that's just kind of my thoughts on the issue.
All right. Thanks a lot for sharing. We'll continue with the second case here, which is from Royal Standard and their transformation with NetSuite, which Warren was also speaking about here, albeit probably not for Royal Standard. So Royal Standard, a Louisiana-based home goods company, faced significant challenges with its on-premises QuickBooks system. And again, we don't want to bash any systems here. It's just as companies grow, of course, one system might have been fit for purpose a year or two or three ago, and now it's a different reality. So sometimes you do need to switch between systems as they cater to different market segments. So as the company expanded its retail stores and ventured into wholesale, the system struggled with the increasing transaction load, often freezing and causing inefficiencies. So changing the game with big ERP system, the switch to NetSuite ERP marked a turning point for the Royal Standard. The integration of its point of sale system with NetSuite provided a real-time view of inventory across all locations, which was a significant improvement over the previous system that only offered insights into the distribution center's inventory. With NetSuite, the Royal Standard could efficiently track 20,000 active stock keeping units, SKUs, if you want it short. An SKU is a unique code and usually represents an individual and unique product. The Royal Standard manages a large and diverse inventory, so this level of SKU management is crucial for effective inventory control, sales tracking, and making informed purchasing and marketing decisions. The buying team utilized saved searches for detailed insights from historical sales data, enabling strategic planning for biannual product releases, and this level of detailed reporting and planning was just not feasible with their previous system. So, advancement into e-commerce with NetSuite Commerce. Now we're really looking at the full suite of the ERP systems here, right? So the migration of initially its B2C e-commerce site to NetSuite Commerce, followed by its B2B site, marked significant growth. Sales on the B2C side increased by 100%, and B2B sales grew by 46%. This growth was attributed to the enhanced capabilities provided by NetSuite and was seemingly unprecedented. The integration of inventory and e-commerce systems reduced errors and ensured accurate online listings, especially crucial for limited edition products. The ease of managing the site and synchronizing changes, platforms like Google and Facebook Shopping, was also a highly notable improvement. So the positive outcome of automation integration, meaning really centralizing data being the keys to success. So NetSuite's integration with the Royal Standard's warehouse management and CRM systems, kind of like what Roland's talking about, that is not just, the finance system, perhaps, it's really the integration of systems that's key here. It was pivotal for the company's success in a highly regionalized market. This automation allowed for prioritized order fulfillment and efficient processing. So financial growth through making operational efficiencies. So company vice president Emily Dykes said, NetSuite has allowed us to increase revenue 43% over the past 4 years while keeping payroll expenses relatively flat, only a 6% increase in the same period. We launched 2 e-commerce sites and opened 2 stores with a minimal increase in staff. This has resulted in our most profitable years since launch. And I think we've seen similar stories, often they're spearheaded by tech companies and whatnot, but that they're able to actually grow significantly while keeping the level of staff at par, so to speak. They're not necessarily laying off people, but they just don't have to, they don't need to onboard the same amount of people to grow. And that's because they have that data in order. If you don't have your data and processes in order, you need bodies to actually make it work. So just a few more insights into how some of these companies are bringing their finance function into the modern age. We also now have Laurent on stage. Laurent, feel free to unmute and share your perspectives. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for bringing me on stage. I just would like to bring a topic to the scene, which is decentralized finance, DeFi. Because, okay, we are talking about database creation, site location, okay, but what about decentralized finance? What is your opinion about that? Because for sure, an international consultant in business intelligence, and I would like to know more about financial professionals, especially about cryptocurrencies, and on the second hand, on the financial system, because I think decentralized finance is now a really up-to-date and updated topic which should deal with. What is your opinion about that?
Thanks for bringing that to the stage, Laurent. Of course, speaking about the modern finance function, I think it's only fair that we try to tackle these topics as well. I'd say, you know, you mentioned cryptos, right? And I try to really separate between, let's say, blockchain or the technology behind cryptos and cryptos themselves. You know, there's a lot of opinions around the crypto space. For me, it's kind of like a more volatile, high-risk investment asset. And as long as you treat it like that, it's fine. But I think the blockchain technology in itself could potentially also revolutionize how we do finance and accounting. I first started writing about this, it's 7 years ago now, in 2017. And I haven't followed the space too closely since then to be able to be saying too much. But I think it's one of those things that we probably overestimate in the short term and underestimate in the long term. But I'm yet to see kind of like the huge application of it and really making a big difference in the finance functions across the world. But that's just my take on it. It doesn't mean I don't believe in there could be significant potential there.
Going back, Anders, to the second case, I think from a system perspective and a planning perspective, moving up to a NetSuite type of ERP is significant for many reasons. One, like you said, you're not in a hurry, especially when you're a scaling company, to eliminate people because they're already educated and trained and ramped up on the culture, the process of the company itself. So what you're doing is you're ultimately utilizing them because the system becomes very efficient in helping run the company, and that data is there and decisions are made quite quickly. So you start utilizing the assets that you already have and the culture that you already have in the company and reassigning kind of like, you know, their workload, if you will. What I like about this case study is that, one, it's not necessarily stated, but one, you don't necessarily have to, you know, remove the assets or employees because that's a high cost of capital, but you can, one, utilize them better. The more analysis is done, the planning cycle will ultimately really increase because of the data that's available. Once again, if they were still using QuickBooks, they would have been reactive. They would have been, hey, you know, we need to start scaling. And if they got so big, they weren't meeting customer orders. Customers started getting, you know, upset because, you know, orders weren't fulfilled. And then that starts, you know, kind of like a, you know, domino effect in a negative way. But by scaling and preparing themselves, their planning cycles improve. They start scaling and start allocating inventory because they know where their company is headed. So the system adds a lot of benefit for many cycles. I mean, I know I'm bringing it back to the finance kind of world, but in a sense, that's how I look at it. Working with the CRM, working with the sales component of the company, and making sure that we're prepared, not only from the finance perspective, but from a procurement and, you know, delivery fulfillment perspective as well.
That makes a lot of sense, Roland. I think it's key that we are proactive in this space here. If we have a strategy that's going to take us on a significant growth journey, then why wait until we have come into the middle of that strategy execution phase before we actually think about enabling with a proper platform? That's only going to create a lot of mess. So I think that makes a lot of sense there, Roland. Let's just take the last case here. So basically, we have predictive index revenue management revolution. The challenge for predictive index, they were founded in the 50s, is a decade-old Massachusetts-based company that specializes in talent optimization. Maybe you have taken the PI test in your job search at some point in your life, at least I have, so maybe you know it from there. They faced significant challenges with their previous business system. They had a Microsoft platform and financial force because they lacked the accuracy and flexibility required for an effective modern finance function, particularly in revenue management and intelligent reporting. So the strategic vision that led to the transition to NetSuite in this case, they got substantial efficiency gains from this. One in reporting. So with NetSuite, the predictive index FP&A manager could customize reports to segment data by revenue channel, product, and geography. I mean, wouldn't we all like that? This level of granularity turned out to be crucial in identifying specific areas lagging behind revenue targets, allowing them to adjust and make fixes. Also on the revenue management side, they basically used automation of deferred revenue management, and this allowed Predictive Index to handle its complex subscription-based business model much more efficiently, cutting the time for this part of the monthly close in half. And that's always quite an achievement, I would say. So automated revenue management means enhanced audit efficiency as well. So the accuracy of the tool was so high that auditors reduced their sample size by half after the first year by using it. This precision eliminated the need for retesting or additional file pulls during audits. So they leveraged the dunning letters that were also part of the tool to automate overdue notices to clients and partners, which contributed to better cash flow management overall and allowed the company to better allocate and deploy resources. Now, just speaking of processes like dunning and collections in general, it's important to always balance the use of technology with the use of actually talking to your client from time to time. Because of course it can be kind of a negative conversation if you're only talking to a machine, especially if you're doing B2B. In B2C and you have lots of customers, it may be a different story. A predictive index is definitely a B2B business. So just make sure you balance that. And at the end of the day, you know, talk to, you know, send real people, talk to other people. So automation means a more strategic finance function. So the overall impact of this implementation was transformative. Automation of key processes freed up the finance team. Now processing 130 expense reimbursements after a company event took only an hour compared to a full day with the old traditional process. So a lot of great cases here, I would say. And you know, these of course come from Oracle or NetSuite, but I've also seen, you know, the modern finance function showcase from other companies. And it's just great to see so many cases and finance functions that sort of have embraced the modern finance function through innovation and transformation. So I'll just come to the end here and we'll just open the floor to Q&A if someone wants to come up as well. So driven by automation, cloud-based solutions, and advanced ERP systems, we're seeing the possibilities in the modern finance function. Although each company and organization faces unique challenges and opportunities, what we've highlighted reveals a common thread, major benefits that come from pursuing efficiency, accuracy, and strategic vision. The integration of advanced technologies not only streamlined operations, but also opened new avenues for growth, scalability, and enhanced decision-making. The transformations led to success, and everyone loves to win. As we look to the future, it's clear that the finance function will continue to evolve, shaped by the ongoing advancements and ever-changing business landscape. The lessons learned we've taken away can provide valuable blueprints as you seek to navigate your path toward digital transformation and operational excellence in finance. The modern finance function stands at the forefront of business innovation, playing a crucial role in driving organizations toward a more efficient, data-driven, and strategically focused future. So what do you think about these cases? And where do you see improvements in your own company? Let's just take a few minutes here at the end to see if someone wants to come up and share, either reflect on the cases or, you know, maybe share insights in your finance function. Feel free to raise hand and come up on stage.
Well, I'll just say one quick stuff. You know, it has a lot. This is a good session too, Anders, by the way. But I think AI, you know, we've talked about this in the past, you know, integrating systems, scaling, you know, organizations and companies. But ultimately, you know, as the AI tools improve, you're just going to find even more of this efficiency and fluidity in the company and reporting and the data integrity and also some of the predictive analysis. I think ultimately when those tools kind of, you know, catch up and really start understanding kind of what we do, you know, to a certain extent, especially like the mundane kind of, you know, regular functions, but it's still going to take a finance professional like one of our last sessions to really analyze and teach AI some of these other functions and other intelligent type of analysis, because there's so many, you know, so many possibilities that I still think there's going to be that human connectivity that's needed before AI completely, you know, takes over, which, you know, like I said, I think there's too many variables. It's consistently changing over the years and over the decades that you're still going to need that finance professional that has been in the industry to really know where to navigate this long term.
100%, Roland. And I think it's an exciting time to be in finance for sure. I mean, we can see all these exciting cases here creating more efficiencies. And what it means is, of course, also that individuals need to upskill themselves to remain relevant. And of course, it's something you've heard me talking about a lot as well, and something we'll probably continue to talk about. So until next week, see you. Have a great time. You can always catch me on LinkedIn if you want. Catch the podcast on your favorite channels. And yeah, see you soon.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?